It was mentioned in one of our good prayers this morning that God has commanded our faithfulness. How true that is. If you were to begin reading in the book of Genesis in chapter 1 and make your way through Revelation chapter 22, you'd come across the word faithfulness in its various forms a number of times. The word faithful 82 times, faithfully 8 times, and faithfulness 19 times in the King James Version. And I've come this morning to talk to us about faithfulness. The wise man Solomon said in the book of Proverbs chapter 20 and in verse 6, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find." As we explore the subject of faithfulness, we'll allow the words faithful, faithfully, and faithfulness to dictate what we have to say on this subject. As I explored the Word of the Lord to find out what it has to say about faithfulness, one of the first things that caught my eye is the fact that there are a number of things that are said to be faithful in this volume. So let me briefly call your attention to some faithful things. I read of faithful treasurers. In Nehemiah 13 and verse 13, it is said, "I made treasures over the treasuries, for they were counted faithful." How important it is for those who are made treasures over the treasuries to be faithful. As well, God's commandments are faithful. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 86, "All thy commandments are faithful." Then in verse 138, he went on to say, "Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful." In addition, the Bible talks about a faithful spirit. In Proverbs 11:13, "A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth a matter." What kind of spirit do you and I have? Is it faithful? In Proverbs 13:17, the writer spoke of a faithful ambassador. "A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is held." Proverbs 14:5 speaks of a faithful witness. "A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies." Which would describe you best, faithful or false? There's a faithful messenger in Proverbs 25 and verse 13. "As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters." In Proverbs 27 and verse 6, I realized the wounds of a friend are faithful. When Solomon said, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." In the book of Isaiah, I read of the faithful city, the city of Jerusalem. In Isaiah 1 and in verse 21, "How is the faithful city become an harlot?" And then down in verse 26, "I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city." Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 21 speaks of a faithful minister. Paul said, "But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord." There are sayings in this book that are faithful sayings. 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul said, "This is a faithful saying." A lot of sayings today are not faithful. You can't rest assured. You can't depend upon them. But this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Makes a good study in of itself, faithful sayings, as those words appear several times in this book. And the Bible speaks of a faithful servant. In Matthew 24 and in verse 45, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant?" So when you explore what this book has to say about faithfulness, you'll find that a number of things are said to be faithful. But in the second part of our study, let me emphasize the fact that God is faithful. Faithfulness is an attribute that is ascribed to God in many places in this book, especially in the Psalms. In Psalm 36 and in verse 5, for example, the psalmist declared, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds." Then in verse 5, he talked about the faithfulness of God in Psalm 89, when he expressed his faithfulness in keeping his word or his commandments. "The heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness," also in the congregation of the saints. And then drop down to verse 8, "O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee?" That's Psalm 89, 5 and 8. Back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7 and verse 9, Moses said, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God." Jeremiah in the Lamentations, in Lamentations 3 and verse 23, said of God, "Great is thy faithfulness." That is a beautiful song we sing, by the way. When Paul wrote the church at Corinth, he reminded them of the fact that God is faithful. He said in 1 Corinthians 1, 9, "God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." Then in chapter 10 and verse 13, he said, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." And so when a person yields to temptation, he can't say, "It's your fault, God." He can't blame God, because God is faithful, you see. Writing the church of the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 24, Paul said, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." God does what he says, and so he's faithful. If he didn't do what he says, he wouldn't be faithful, would he? In the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 23, it is written, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." That's faithfulness on our part. What should move and motivate us to do that? Listen to these words in the brackets there. "For he is faithful that promised." God keeps his promises. That's why we can sing the song, "Standing on the Promises." And I ought to be stirred and stimulated to not waver, but to be faithful, considering the fact that God is faithful. In the faith chapter, Hebrews 11, notice what is said of Sarah in verse 11. "Through faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she is past age." Why'd she do that? How could she do that? Where'd she get her strength? "Because she judged him faithful who had promised." And so one of the things that can help us to be strong and faithful is judging God himself to be faithful. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 19, Peter said, "Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." And then again in 1 John 1, 9, John said, "If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So when I read about faithfulness, it occurred to me that several times throughout the Bible, it's emphasized that God is faithful. But then taking it a step further, in the third place, I appreciate the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is faithful. Back in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 11 and verse 5, it was prophesied of Christ, the rod and the branch, "And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins." Hebrews 2 and verse 17 says of Christ, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Then in chapter 3, in verses 1 and 2, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." And then he said, "Who was faithful to him that appointed him." When John wrote the Revelation, in Revelation 1 and 5, he said, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness." In Revelation 3:14, to the Laodiceans, this message: "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness." And then in chapter 19:11, John said, "I saw heaven opened." What did you see when you saw heaven open, John? "A white horse, and he that sat upon him was called," what? "Faithful and true." Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is faithful. But then again, I found where there are a number of people in this book who are described as faithful. You might like to jot these names down and these passages. And we could ask ourselves the question, if we had been these men and these women, would we have gone down in the annals of divine history as having been faithful? We start with Abraham. In Nehemiah 9 and verse 8, it is recorded of Abraham that God found his heart faithful before thee. I wonder if Nehemiah had been writing about us, if my name, your name had been mentioned, would God have been said to have found our heart faithful? In Galatians 3:9, when Paul was writing to the churches of Galatia, he mentioned faithful Abraham. But not only Abraham, Moses is mentioned as being faithful. In Numbers 12 and verse 7, God said, "My servant Moses is not so who is faithful in all mine house." That's not what he said about himself or what other men said about him. That's what God said about him. And what a great statement that God said, "Moses is faithful in all mine house." What do you say that about us? As well, David is mentioned as being faithful. In 1 Samuel 22:14, Ahimelech answered the king and said, "And who is so faithful among all thy servants as David?" Hanani in Nehemiah 7 and verse 2 was called faithful. "I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem." Why'd you do that? How could you entrust them with that charge? The Bible says, "For he was a faithful man and feared God above many." Would that have been said about us? King Hezekiah of Judah was faithful. In 2 Chronicles 31:11-12, the Bible says he brought in the offerings and the tithes and the dedicated things faithfully. That's the way to bring things into the house of the Lord, by the way. Faithfully. Workmen in the Lord's house were said to be faithful in 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 12. In the 18th year of Josiah, when the house of the Lord was repaired, it was said, "And the men did the work faithfully." That's what needs to be said of men that work in the house of the Lord today, that they work faithfully. Daniel was faithful. In Daniel 6 and verse 4, when the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel, they could find none for as much as he was what? Faithful. Couldn't find occasion against him concerning the kingdom. Why? He was faithful. Doesn't that say something to us about the meaning of that word? When you come to the New Testament, you remember Lydia? The Bible upholds the dignity of women. And what a wonderful woman to have known in the first century. When she was converted, she opened her ears, her heart was open. She attended to the things that were spoken by Paul and those that were with him. And she said in Acts 16, verse 15, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained it. She didn't say like some people today, "You wouldn't want to come over for dinner, would you?" No, I didn't think you would. She constrained them. She kind of twisted their arms. She wouldn't take no for an answer. And it emphasizes her faithfulness to the Lord that she constrained them. Timothy was called faithful by Paul in 1 Corinthians 4:17, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord." What a great compliment paid to this young man by the aged apostle. In Ephesians 6:21, Tychicus, who is regarded as a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. Epaphras in Colossians 1:7, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Onesimus is called faithful. Colossians 4:9, a faithful and beloved brother. Paul himself in the book of 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12, when he said, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me" what? "Faithful. putting me into the ministry. And then Silvanus in 1 Peter 5 and verse 12, a faithful brother. When John wrote in 3 John 5, he talked about Gaius. He said, "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers." And then another one, Antipas. In Revelation 2:13, to the church at Pergamos, the Lord spoke of Antipas. He said, "Who is my faithful martyr?" My faithful martyr. He kept his plighted faith, didn't he? And so over and over again, we read of men and women who were called faithful. And I just mentioned that briefly to ask ourselves the question. If we put ourselves in their place, if I had been Antipas or Gaius or any of these others, would we have been regarded as faithful? Would we have gone down in this volume as having been faithful in our doings? Now let me quickly point out the fact that faithfulness is required of Christians. It's one thing for us to read of the fact that God is faithful and Christ his Son is faithful and men and women who long before us have been regarded as faithful. But we got to realize that faithfulness is required of us today, as God's required that of all people of all ages. In fact, this word faithful is one of the terms that's used to describe those in Christ. When Paul wrote the Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 1, it begins this way. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to who? The faithful in Christ Jesus. That's how he started the Colossian letter as well. Colossians 1, 2. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. When Paul gave instructions to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 2, he talked about those who are faithful. He said, "They that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they're brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit." And so those who are in Christ, those who are brethren, are described by this term faithful. And so the fact that God uses the word faithful as a term to describe those who are in Christ, those who are members of the body of Christ, those who are brethren, those who are partakers of the benefit, says something about the fact that God requires faithfulness of his people, doesn't it? Amen. Now, that word faithful means trusty. It's used of persons who show themselves faithful in the transaction of business, the execution of commands, or the discharge of official duties. That can be relied on. Is that the word that describes us today? Can we be relied on? Do we keep the faith? Are we worthy of trust? Faithfulness is required in stewards. You remember from 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Paul said, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." A steward is one in whose hands care has been entrusted. And God has entrusted within the hands of his people a number of sacred trusts. We sing that song, "Into our hands the gospel is given." And it's required that a steward be found faithful. We're spiritual stewards. Paul wrote Titus in chapter 1 and verse 7, "For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God." And then Peter penned these words in 1 Peter 4:10. "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Are we being faithful as spiritual stewards? Also, faithfulness is one of the qualifications of teachers. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul said, "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to who? Faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." There are two qualifications of teachers. And they're set forth in that verse. Faithful and able. Some may be faithful but not able. Others may be able but not faithful. It takes both. And the Bible affirms that we must teach. Teaching really is not an option for the Christian. For in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24, Paul said, "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach." The servant of the Lord must be apt to teach. And I don't believe the Lord expects us to do anything beyond what we're able. Do you? We must teach. For when for the time you ought to be teachers. Hebrews 5 and in verse 12. The fact that we must teach, and it's a qualification of teachers to be faithful, tells me that faithfulness is required of Christians. Also, faithfulness is one of the qualifications of officers in the church and their wives. God's plan for the local church is for elders and deacons, as well as saints. In Acts 14:23, elders were ordained in every church. In Titus 1 and verse 5, Paul left Titus in Crete that he might appoint or ordain elders in every city. And so the Bible plan is for elders in every church in every city. And where there are no elders, there's something wanting. And God hastened the day when there are men who desire the office and who possess the abilities and qualities that are necessary that may be scripture appointed to do that awesome work, to feed and lead the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. But in order for that to happen, there must be men and women who are faithful. In 1 Timothy 3 and in verse 11, the apostle said, "Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things." As you look out among you, men who may be appointed to that work, their wives must be faithful in all things. As well, the men must be men of faithfulness. In Titus 1 and verse 6, it is said, "If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly." And in verse 9, "Holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." How important that is. And as you think about the fact that God requires faithfulness of Christians today, we are commanded in the final book, in Revelation 2 and verse 10, "Be thou faithful." How long? Unto death. Not just today, not just this week or this month or the rest of this year, but under the taking of your life, unto death. Faithfulness is required of Christians. Now let me point out briefly some blessings of faithfulness. And these should serve as incentives to motivate us to be faithful to God. The Bible says in Proverbs 28 and verse 20, "A faithful man shall abound with blessings." What comes to your mind when you hear the word abound? I think of a cup that's filled to the brim and running over, overflowing with blessings. Would you like to abound? Would you like to overflow with blessings? Who is it that is said to do that? A faithful man. The Bible also says in Proverbs 31 and verse 23, "The Lord preserveth the faithful." He spoke of those that are cut off by the Lord, but those who are preserved are those who are faithful. In Revelation 2 and verse 10, "The faithful will receive a crown of life." "Be thou faithful unto death." Why? "For thou shalt receive a crown of life." Entrance into the joy of the Lord will be given to those who are faithful, as seen in the parable of Matthew 25, when in verse 21, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." When it comes to what this book says, what God expects of us, can it be said of us that we're faithful? Could you say, as 2 Samuel 20 and in verse 19 puts it, "I am one of them that are peaceful and faithful in Israel"? I'm one of them. Are you one of them that are faithful? We could make a list of a number of things the Lord has said and ask ourselves, am I faithful? For example, when the Lord said, "Let your light shine before men," am I faithful in doing that? When it comes to the Lord's work and Being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:15. Am I faithful in doing that? When it comes to not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, am I faithful in my assembling? Hebrews 10:25. When it comes to the kind of life that's expected of me as a Christian, putting away lying, speaking the truth, Ephesians 4:25. Am I faithful? Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. Am I faithful in doing that? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Am I faithful in my speech? Am I? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Am I faithful in living like that? It is said in Acts 2:42, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and in prayers. Am I faithful in worship? Am I faithful in keeping myself pure? Paul told Timothy, keep thyself pure. Am I faithful in doing that? Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world, James 1:27. Am I faithful in all that? Am I? And you go on and on with all that, couldn't you? Jehoshaphat's charge to the judges is worth our consideration when we think about faithfulness. In 2 Chronicles 19, he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah. And in verse 6, he said, take heed what ye do, for you judge not for man, but for the Lord. And in verse 9, he charged them, saying, what did he say? Thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord, listen, faithfully and with a perfect heart. That's what this sermon is really designed to help each of us to do. To do in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a perfect heart. And God knows, and we know, whether we're doing that. And the question that I have for each of us: will he answer thee, well done? Will he? Will he answer, well done? What's the answer to that question? Will he answer thee, well done? Who's he going to answer well done to? The good and faithful servant. That's what it's all about. We've got to live, we've got to labor, and we've got to love all our days in such a way that he'll answer us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. If we miss heaven, we miss all there is. And a lot of people are going to miss it because of a lack of faithfulness. God help you, God help me, to be the kind of people that we've read about. To be like God himself and his Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. To be faithful. It's possible that there are those here that aren't a part of the body of Christ. You've not been baptized into Jesus Christ. We'd like to encourage you to be among the faithful. Hearing the Lord's word, believing on him with all of your heart, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith that you believe Christ to be the Son of God and to be baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, you can then be described as faithful. That's one of the terms used to describe God's people. And then to commit yourself to everything that you do, do it faithfully. To be faithful unto death. Faithfulness involves us recognizing that we sin and asking for God's forgiveness. You see, a faithful person will say, I have sinned, when he sins. As 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sometimes we stumble and fall. When we do that, we've got to have the courage to get back up and get back to going. And that's what faithful people do. And if this time finds you out of Christ, we plead with you to be baptized into Christ. And all things are ready. We're ready and willing to assist you in that, that you might be among the faithful. Your every sin of the past can be washed and wiped away to remember no more. And if this time finds you down, let the Lord and His people help you up. Would you repent of it, whatever it is, and ask for His forgiveness? Like Simon, who said, "Pray for me, we'll pray for you." The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's much to be availed in prayer. And would you say, "Pray to the Lord for me"? When we are in danger of perishing, we need God's people to pray for us. And if you need the prayers of God's people at this time, we bid you come while we stand and sing the song.
Oh, dear Jesus.